Backup recording?
Yep. Not backup, that's safe.
Yeah.
Alright, so we'll say good morning. So today's daf is Lamed Aleph. We're gonna begin from the bottom of Lamed Amud Beis. Remember again, we left off 3, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom. Umay Shnamiham. So if you remember again, the last thing we were discussing in previous Mishnah was speaking about using wood from a sukkah. So Vimar was discussing that according to one of the possibilities, we're actually referring to the sukkah shalchad, the sukkah of Yom Tov. And Lemaisa, the reason you can't go ahead and use the Atziah sukkah is because Ben HaShmashos, at the onset of the Yom Tov, so the Chal Shim Shemaim Al HaSukkah, the Kedusha devolves upon the sukkah, and a person abstains from using it, and therefore by definition, it becomes Usur all 7 days. So the word says, Maishnami Ha De Itmar. Why is that case different from that which was stated? Hifrish Shiva Esrogim and Shiva Sayamim. Well, so let's say a person set aside 7 esrogim for 7 days of Yom Tov. So I have a new chumrah. My chumrah is they have to have a different esrog for every day. That's my start. You heard it here. You have to. I'm sorry.
I need some money.
Yeah, exactly. I have some money burning hole in my pocket, so I'd like to buy some extra esrogim. So what happens? Amarav called Shiva. So I've said, what happens? You go ahead and you discharge your obligation with each esrog, meaning each and every day you discharge your obligation and you eat it. Ravasi says, so also according to Rav, you can go ahead and literally use it and eat it. According to Ravasi, he says, you could use it, but you shouldn't eat it until the next day. Because the mice, again, the Kiddush of the esrog remains on it for the entire day. But the next day, again, already, you could always go ahead and eat the esrog. So mostly, but the point is, what do you see from here? The ma'aseh, what you see from here is that both according to both of these opinions, they're only arguing on a detail as to when you can eat the esrog. Is it today or is it tomorrow? But they agree that what? That you can eat it, right? They agree that the kedusha is limited. So why do we see over here the kedusha is limited, and yet by the sukkah, the kedusha extends the entire 7 days? Hasam demafseku leilos miyamim. It's very simple. There's a fundamental distinction in the mitzvos. When it comes to esrog, so lemaisa again, when it comes to lulav and esrog, that is a mitzvah that is only by yom. That is a mitzvah that is only by day. Therefore, by definition, the mitzvah concludes. There's a whole nighttime period where there is no mitzvah. And the mitzvah begins anew the next day. Therefore, if I went ahead and separated out 7 esrogim for 7 days, lemaisa again, when I use my esrog of day one, once day one is over, the mitzvah is concluded. Once the mitzvah is concluded, the esrog no longer has any level of kiddush. A person has the ability to stipulate that. On the other hand, when it comes to the mitzvah of sukkah, that mitzvah is continuous. That mitzvah applies both by day as well as by night. And therefore, lemaisa, when the kiddusha of the sukkah devolves upon it, that kiddusha is continuous and applies throughout the entire Yom Tov.
According to Rav, each day, each esrog becomes asur for that.
Correct. Day. Correct. That is correct. Because again, the logic would be is that since the mitzvah is the entire day, there's a chalul shem kiddusha for the entire day, as opposed to Rav, we'll say the mitzvah is to do the mitzvah. Once you've done the mitzvah, there's no concept of taking lulav and esrog again. Therefore, you're done. So the Gemara goes weiter. Top of Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, says the Mishnah. Mevi'in eitzim min ha-sada min ha-mechuna. So we'll say now we're speaking again about the concept of collecting things that were not explicitly prepared prior to Yom Tov. So says the Mishnah, you could go ahead and you could bring wood from the field on Yom Tov, as long as what? Min ha-mechunas. Now, what does min ha-mechunas mean? Look at Rashi. He says, first of all, Rashi just points out over here, mevi and eitzim, we're talking about telushim. Min ha-sadash ha-besoch ha-tchum b'yom tov. So first of all, obviously, this is detached wood, because remember, kotzer, which is okay, to remove and do the uprooting something from the place where it lives, is one of the 39 malachos, and it's one of the malachos that is not permitted on Yom Tov. So you cannot do kotzer. So you, if you have an apple tree in your backyard, you cannot pick an apple off that tree and say that it's ochal nefesh, because kotzer is not permitted under the umbrella of ochal nefesh. For reasons we're not going to get into right now. So the Gemara says, so therefore you could bring eitzim in asad, as long as min ha-mechunas, Rashi says, im konsum erev Yom Tov, the galei daite de alayu samich, the ima muktza, Excuse me, muktzin. So we'll say you can go ahead and gather from the field as long as what? As long as prior to Yom Tov you piled that wood. So by piling that wood, what you've indicated is that lemaisa, again, you plan on using that wood because you planned on using it. You set it aside for use. Therefore, lemaisa, again, you can go ahead and use it. However, again, as Rashi points out, not mina mefuzarin. Mefuzarin means scatter. So you cannot go throughout the forest gathering wood for use on Yom Tov. Mina karfeif. However, what about a karfeif? So Rashi points out over here, a karfeif is an enclosure. Shuhu mishtamer umukov sabiv. Afilu mefuzarin shabo lohutzim idaito. So we'll say a karfeif is in an enclosed area. So if you have an enclosed area, afilu mina mefuzar. Even if the wood is scattered, you may take the wood from there, because the assumption is that since the karfeif is mishtamer umukach, literally it's guarded, meaning it's enclosed. Therefore, by definition, everything that's in there is considered to be usable for you. So Mar says, "Ezu karfeif." What is a karfeif? As long as it's close to the city, that's called the karfeif. Meaning, I will say, a karfeif obviously is an enclosure. What the Mishnah is asking over here is, what type of enclosure allows you to use the wood that you find in it, even if that wood is scattered? So Rabbi Huda says it has to be close to the city. If it's close to the city, then presumably a person has das that they might want to use that wood over Yom Tov. Rabbi Yossi says definition of a karfeit is something that you can only enter with a key. So according to Rabbi Yossi is not as concerned about proximity as much as he's concerned about security. However, he does qualify it. He says it needs to be within the tchum. It needs to be within the tchum. So if it's within the tchum and it's guarded, meaning again there's a lock on it, which Rabbi said represents the idea that this is an area that is accessible and usable to you, then lemaisa again you could use wood that's in that karpiv, even if it's mefuzar. Ultimately, even if it's scattered. Am Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Gemara. Ein mevien eitzin ela mina mechunasin shebe karfeif. So we'll say, Rav Yehuda says the name of Shmuel, you can only use wood on Shabbos if it's gathered or piled inside the karfeif. So this contradicts our Mishnah. V'ha'anan t'nan mina karfeif afila mina mefuzarin. So we'll say, the way our Mishnah read is that you can go ahead and use wood in the field, as long as what? As long as you piled it, as long as you gathered it before Yom Tov. But in your karfeit, you could use wood even if it's scattered. But yet, again, this statement of Shmuel contradicts that. And the statement of Shmuel says that in the karfeit, you could only go ahead and use it from gathered wood. So the Gemara says, if I must nisin yichidohi, the Mishnah reflects a lone opinion. Whose lone opinion? Disanya. Amar Rabbi Shema ben Elazar, lo nechleku beishamai ubeisilel ala mefuzar in shebesados she'en mevien. I will say, beisham beisilel agree. Then on Yom Tov, you may not go ahead and gather scattered wood from the field. Okay? Everyone agrees with that. That's not prepared. That's muktzah. However, va'al ha-mechunasin shebe karfeif shemevin. They agree that you can't gather scattered wood from the field. They also agree that you may gather piled wood or gathered wood within the karfeif. Shemevin. Aman nachlaku. So what do Beisham Yisrael argue about? They disagree about two cases. Number one, scattered wood within a karfeif, and gathered wood in the field. Beishamai holds that scattered wood in a karfeif and gathered wood in the field may not be used on Yom Tov. Beishamai presumably holds that lemaisa, again, the only case you really could use is a case of karfeif and mechunasin. It's got to be enclosed and it's got to be prepared. Beisila, on the other hand, holds. Beisila omrim yavi. Beisila holds no. Again, if it's in the field, as long as it is mechunasin shebesados, gathered within the field, that's called that it's mukhan, or it's within the karfeif. Being within the karfeif makes it mukhan as well. Then you're allowed to use it. So we'll say that's the fundamental machlokes that we see. Amar Rava. Rava says the following. Alei kanin va'alei gifanim. So we'll say, let's say you have literally leaves of reeds and leaves of vines. So now instead of dealing with wood, I'm dealing with leaves. And I want to be able to, so again, why would a person need the leaves? The pashas, again, fuel. Fuel as well, person could burn it. So the Gemara says, or whatever they're gonna do with it. So the Gemara says, Ali kind of Ali Gfanim. Afal gav de mekafni de mekanfi luhu umosvi Kevan di madlizeka mevadelu, kimifuzarin damu vaasu. So Bosai comes along, Rava makes a very interesting statement. If you have leaves, even if you've gathered them prior to Yom Tov, right? Umos, excuse me, the mekanfi luhu, umosi, so you've gathered them and they're lying on the ground. Since kevan di madlizeka, if a wind were to come, mevader luhu, it would scatter them, kimifuzarin damu vaasu. It's as if they're scattered. And therefore, it's asr. So, in other words, what Rava seems to be saying is there's no real way to prepare. Just because you pile leaves prior to Yom Tov does not, by definition, make those leaves usable on Yom Tov itself. However, but if you went ahead and you placed the utensil on top of them prior to Yom Tov, then it would be permitted. Or, in other words, I'm sorry?
It's like their own carpet.
It's like their own carpet. Well, it'd be like their own carpet. The kli, right? So, correct. So, say if you were to place like a tarp on it or something else on it, then lemais, again, I'd say it's an interesting point. It becomes like its own enclosure, its own carpet, then it's permitted. Okay. So, the Gemara says, like, izu carpet. We'll say, just understand, you know, these things sound to us like so foreign, but again, especially on a 2-day Yom Tov when you need fuel, right? You need fuel. So, again, these are very relevant and important halachas. Izu carpet. So, we'll say, remember, the Mishnah asked, what is a carpet? And we saw, now again, the Mishnah's not really asking what the definition of a karfif is. We know what a karfif is. A karfif is an enclosure. What the Mishnah is really asking is, what is the type of karfif that allows you to use the contents inside of it on Yom Tov? So for that, we had a machlokas. So we had Rabbi Huda said as proximity. It's an enclosure. It's a place that's enclosed. It's a place that's secure. But that ultimately, the most important thing is proximity. It's close to the city. Therefore, because it's close, a person is going to end up using it on Yom Tov. A person has das to use it. Rabbi Yossi says, proximity is not as important. As long as it's within the tchum, it's fine. What's more important is security. Security. The fact that it's secure, that you need a key in order to enter it, is indicative of the fact that what? That a person lays claim to this, and that a person ultimately, again, has das to use it. So the Gemara says, what exactly is being said over here? Kol shesamuch le'ir, v'hu de'islei posachas. Now, say the Gemara is analyzing the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Because all Rabbi Yehuda commented on was proximity, he did not really comment on security. So as Rabbi Yehuda is saying, as long as it's close to the city, v'hu de'islei posachas, but it has to have a key. It has to be a keyed entrance. Va'asa Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi comes along and says, Kevan de Islei Posachas afilo besoch tchum Shabbos nami. And Rabbi Yossi only disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda on one central point, which is proximity. So both agree that you need the key. Both agree that you need it to be secure. The machlokes is proximity. Rabbi Yehuda says, samoch liir. Rabbi Yossi says, besoch tchum Shabbos. O dilma. So is that the machlokes? O dilma. The other possibility is, anything that's close to the city, bein de islei posachas, bein de leslei posachas. Or maybe the issue is like this. Any karfet that is close to the city, bein de islei posachas, bein de leslei posachas. Whether it has a key or does not have a key, meaning of Osai, perhaps the position of Rabbi Huda is the following. Rabbi Yehuda holds it doesn't have to be a keyed entrance. What's the most important thing? The most important thing is proximity. Proximity, you remember, I'll say, a karfeit by definition is quote-unquote secure. Why? Because lemaisa, it's enclosed. Okay. But so therefore, again, says Rabbi Yehuda, I don't care about the keyed entrance. What I care about is proximity. Va'asa Rabbi Yossi, the name Rabbi Yossi comes along and says, afilu besoch tchum Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi says, no. We're not as worried about proximity because it can even be within Tchum Shabbos. However, v'dafka the islei posachas, but it has to have a key, meaning it has to have a lock. Avaleslei posachas, but if it doesn't have a lock, afilu samoch liir nami lo. Even if it has proximity, if it's not secure, it's not going to be okay. So we'll say we have two versions of the machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. In the first version, both agree you need a key. Both agree that it must be a locked area, a secure area. Mm-hmm. The machlokes is just how proximity. Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be samoch. Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be samoch. Rabbi Yehuda says even if it's within the tchum. According to the second version, Rabbi Yehuda is saying it doesn't even need to have a keyed entrance. As long as it's samoch, it's fine. Comes along Rabbi Yossi and says, no, It could, we're not worried about proximity. It could even be besochat chum, but it must be locked. It must be locked. And if it's not locked, even if it's samoch, you cannot retrieve wood from that karfif on Yom Tov. So which one is it? So one says Tashma. Midiktani Rabbi Yossi Omer. From the fact that it said Rabbi Yossi said, Kol shenichnasin lo beposachas afilo besoch tchum Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi says anything that can be entered with a key, as long as it's within tchum Shabbos. Shmamina Rabbi Yossi tarti lekula ka'amar. It turns out that Rabbi Yossi is being makel in both of these things. Shmamina. Rabbi, so what does this mean? If you look at that Rashi, tarti lekula ka'amar, Rashi's kolomar, mid Rabbi Yossi nishma Rabbi Huda, delav tarvaihu boy, the Rabbi Yossi betarti akyo, the machshir besamoch, belo posachas, or beposachas belo samoch. So Rabbi, what comes out is Rabbi Yossi is actually makel in both cases. Rabbi Yossi holds like this. Rabbi Yossi will say, Rabbi Yossi is not coming to disagree with Rabbi Yehuda on the Samoch case. Rabbi Yossi agrees with Rabbi Yehuda, yes, you are correct. That the only way Rabbi Yehuda allows you to go ahead and use the karfif if it's Samoch. Rabbi Yossi comes along and says, Rabbi Yehuda, I agree with you. If it's samuch, you could use it even if it doesn't have a key. I'm going to do you one better. Even if it's not samuch, but it's in the tchum, you could still use a karpev. Just what? Just in that case where you lack proximity, you must make up for lack of proximity with what? With enhanced security. So we'll say, what comes? So again, so this is what the Gemara understands is the final machlokas. Again, you have Rabbi Huda saying that you can only use the karfeif if lemaisa, again, it is samuch, if it is samuch, and if it's samuch, you don't need it to be a keyed entrance. Rabbi Yossi agrees with that. Just Rabbi Yossi takes it a step further and says, and even if it's not samuch, as long as it's in the tchum, you could still use it as long as what? Then it has to have a key and a lock. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Salva. He's agreeing to one and being mosif another. That is correct. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Salva, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Halacha Rabbi Yossi Lahakel. And again, Rav Salva said to Rabbi Yirmiya that the Halacha indeed follows Rabbi Yossi Lahakel Lakula. So we'll say, I'll just show you, just the Shulchan Aruch writes over here. This is in Simon Tav Kof Aleph, Sif Gimel. So the Shulchan Aruch writes the following. He says, Ein Mevin Eitzin. Minas soda, afilu hayu mechunas and shami be'erev. So, first of all, the way we paskin is we do not gather wood from the field, even if it was gathered there from erev yom tov. And the Mishnah Berurah points out for that. He says there's a couple of reasons for that. V'tayma efsha mishum davi uvda dechol leilech l'soda lahavi eitzim lebeisol. So first possibility is because it's a weekly activity to go out to the field and gather wood, even if what? Even if you've gathered it already there, you've piled it already there in Erev Yom Tov, v'yesh mefarshim mishum demechlaf b'mefuzar. The others are concerned that once you're going into the field, even though you might start out collecting your gathered wood, it's possible that what? You'll come to gather the other stuff as well. And Rabbi say again, that becomes now u'mefuzar asr mishum demechzikim agavev l'tzarech machar. We'll see there's a general issue with collecting wood, because collecting wood often was something that was done for not just for the fire you need to make now, but for the fire you may need later on as well, which has the appearance of preparing for after Yom Tov as well. So that's halacha l'maisa number one. That even if you prepared the wood in the field, and at Yom Tov, we don't go out to the field to collect wood. Aval megavev hu besada mishalafalav. What can you do, however? If let's say you're cooking outside, so you can go ahead and gather wood from your immediate area right around you. V'chim b'chatzar lokech mefuzar. Soon you can take wood from your chatzar as well. Umadlik sham fine. Umeviyah meach mechunasin shebershus hayochid afilo haisa mukeves shelo l'shem dira ubilvad sheyeh ba misgeres v'tiyeh besoch tochum Shabbos. So we'll say again, the Shulchan Aruch rules, and you could go ahead and essentially take, he doesn't call it a karfeif, but you could take wood from your karfeif as long as it has a misgeres, as long as ultimately again it has a lock, and it is within Tchum Shabbos. But if you are missing either one of these things, then lemaisa again, you may not take wood from this particular karfeif. And he writes over here, he says, mashma da'afidu b'somoch le'ir, nami tzarech miskeres, v'harbe poskim cholkin al zeh, So it's interesting. So the Mishnah Berurah says at the end of the day, we really do paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Then when the Shulchan Aruch talks about the fact that it has to be within the tumen and ease a lot, that's dafka for saying that's not samuch. But the Mishnah Berurah says we really do paskin like Rabbi Yossi, and that if it's samuch liir, if it's really close to the city, the definition of close to the city is 70 2/3 amah from within the city, then Lamaisa, again, it doesn't need a lock as well. So again, you can see just Haloch Lamaisa, Tavkof Aleph Gimel, we really do end up passing like Rabbi Yossi, says the Mishnah. So now it's still speaking about wood, but in this case, it's not as much a gathering of wood. Here, what I want to do is I want to break apart large pieces of wood to be able to use them for fueling a fire on Yom Tov. So the Mishnah says, you may not go ahead and break apart wood, minakora. So what's like kora is a beam. Usually it has the connotation of a beam that's used for building. So you can't break apart smaller pieces of wood from a larger beam. Furthermore, I will say, now again, the idea that I can't break apart a beam, that's a little bit more obvious. Why? Because the mice, it's mukta, right? Why is it mukta? Because a beam is set aside for building. The interesting novelty is what happens if a beam broke. So let's say I have a beam that smashed a yom tov. I'm not using it for building anymore. Lemaisa, I still can't go ahead and break that up into wood for use for a fire. Ve'im mevakin, and you can't cut apart wood. Lo bekardum, not with an axe. Ve'lo bemager, not with a saw. Ve'lo bemagol, not with a sickle. Ela bekofitz, right? It was like kofitz really is a cleaver. Is a cleaver. Okay, so let's see. So says the Gemara. Amadeis. Vaha Amrit Reisha in Mevakin class. So what the Gemara points out is that the Mishnah seems to have an inherent contradiction. Because on one hand, the Mishnah begins by saying that you can't break apart wood. You can't, right? You can't break apart wood. I should say you can't break off smaller pieces of wood from a larger piece of wood for use on Yom Tov. And then how does the Mishnah end? And the Mishnah says, oh, and you shouldn't use an axe, a saw, or a sickle, but you can break it apart with a cleaver. So what's the pshat? You just tell me in the beginning of the Mishnah that I couldn't do it. And now in the Mishnah you're telling me that I can't do it with these tongues, but I can do it with these. What's the pshat? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Chisrei Master Valchi Katayin. The Mishnah was purposely succinct, but the truth is, here's how it really should read. Ein mevakin min ha-soar shakoros. I will say, you may not go ahead and cut apart a beam. And you understand what I mean. Take a large piece of wood, cut it into smaller pieces for fuel. Min hasar, I will say, sar is a stack, shokoros, of beams. So we'll say, what this refers to, like a construction pile. You may not go ahead and take a beam from a pile of beams and cut it apart on Yom Tov for use for fuel. Velo min ha-korish nishprav Yom Tov. Furthermore, you may not go ahead and break apart a kora, a beam that broke on Yom Tov. Why? Now, we'll say the idea in both of those cases is why. Look at Rashi for just a moment. So the case of Surah Shakoros is obvious. The case of the pile of beams, because that's construction material that's set aside for non-use on Yom Tov. However, what about the Korosh and Shrabi Yom Tov? Look at Rashi. Lomina Korosh and Shrabi Yom Tov. Va'afagav da'ashta la'hasaka kaima. Then I will say, even though once the beam breaks, it's not really usable for anything other than what? Other than fire. Nevertheless, bein ha'shmoshos lav la'hachi kaima. I will say, we've already stated many, many times that the identity of a particular item is forged when? Bein ha'shmoshos. So because at Bein HaShmashos, this was a construction beam, and therefore because it's a construction beam, it is not usable for Yom Tov, therefore that identity remains on the item even once the item's circumstances change. However,
The pile of beams, you would think it's piled there because he was intending to use it.
No. You ever see a construction site? Right? They bring materials there. They pile materials there by the site. Nobody's using that for anything other than construction.
But if he put a pile of beams.
Oh, sure. That goes back to the previous Gemara. Ein Achinami. If I have stuff that I put, if I piled wood for the sake of using for Yom Tov, Ein Achinami, that's the case. But that's clearly not this case. Correct. Correct. So the Gemara says the following. But if you had a beam that broke on Erev Yom Tov, so meaning it's already non-usable for building on Erev Yom Tov, therefore by definition you can go ahead and further cut that apart on Yom Tov itself. Because Gemara both say at that point in time, at the time of Ben Hashmashos, that broken beam was already unusable for construction, therefore it's really only usable for one purpose, which was fuel. Therefore, it's permitted to cut it apart on Yom Tov. U'kishay mevakin, and when you're going to go ahead and break apart beams for use on Yom Tov, meaning permitted beams, ein mevakin lo bekarnda v'lo b'magav v'lo b'magero, you can't go ahead and use an axe, a saw, an axe, you can't use, what did we say before? Right, an axe, a saw, or a sickle, but rather what? You could only use a cleaver. So the Gemara says, "Tain nami achi." We have a brayse that supports it. Now I'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, "Tain nami achi." Brayse that supports this. Ein mevakin eitzin lo min asor v'shal koros. We have a brayse that supports this same idea. You may not go ahead and break apart beams that are part of a pile of beams, because again, I both said the assumption is they're set aside for construction. V'lo min akroshin shrabi yom tov, and you can't go ahead and break apart a korah, a beam that broke on Yom Tov, as Rashi said before, because bin Hashmoshos it was asur. Why the fisha in amin amuchan? Because it was not properly prepared. So the Rabbah says, so now let's go back here a little bit. So just understand, so here is what we have. What we have is a pile of beams for construction set aside for non-use. Essentially, we'll say it's what we call mukta machmas chisaron kis. The assumption is those materials are expensive, they have a value. Therefore, because a person has no intention to use it for fuel, person is using it for building, therefore it's mukta. If the beam breaks on Yom Tov, still mukta, because it wasn't prepared by Nash Marshals. If it broke Erev Yom Tov, you can use it on Yom Tov. You can even break it apart on Yom Tov for use for fuel, but you are limited in terms of the type of utensil that you use to break it apart. And we'll say, why do you have to use a specific type of utensil? That goes back to Ushinoi, correct? Uvda Dechol. Because simply, we've already seen already that whatever we can do to deviate from the way things are done during the week, we like to do that. So therefore, because during the week you may go ahead and break it apart with an axe, we'd rather you use the cleaver on Yom Tov itself. So the Gemara now going to...
You cut crops with it. You don't cut wood with a sickle.
Apparently you did. Apparently people used it at points in time. Thin wood. I don't know. So the Gemara says, "Lo kardum." So you can't go ahead and use the kardum. Am Rav Chirin Abar Shamiya Mishmei Derav Lo Shanu Ela Benakvus Shelo Ava Bezachrus Shelo Mutter. So we'll say it's very interesting. So look at Rashi just a moment. Lo Shanu Ela Benakvus Shelo Berosh Harochav Shekotzitzin Boha Eitz Lerachbo De Dami Lemelech Asuma. So we'll say apparently a kardum, an axe, has two parts to it, but both are sharp. But there's a thicker side, that's the Gemara is calling the Zachrus, Gemara is calling it the male side. Mm-hmm. And there's the female side, which is the thinner side. So the Gemara says over here that Lemaisa, when do we say you can't use the Kardum? So Rav explains, that's only the Nakvos, that's only the thinner side. But you could go ahead and use the thicker side to go ahead and cut wood even on Yom Tov. So look at Rashi now for just a moment. Rashi, Lo Shana Ela B'Nakvos Shalom, Berosh HaRachav. I said that the opposite. Lo shan ela benakvus shalom. That's the thicker side. Shekotes in ba'etz l'rachbo, the dami lemeleches uman. So we'll say apparently using the thicker side, which the Gemara is calling the nakvus, the feminine side. So that part you can't use to cut wood on Yom Tov. Why? Rashi is the dami lemeleches uman. That has the appearance of the work of a craftsman. It's another way of saying that's the way you would normally cut wood, with the thicker side. Therefore, lemaisa, we don't want you to do that on Yom Tov. However, look at the next Rashi. Aval b'zachrus, but with the male side, so the thinner side, berosh hakatzer shemevakin ba'itzim mutter. So we'll say, now what Rav is saying is, the Mishnah said you can't use the axe. What the Mishnah is really saying is you can't use the axe in the normal way, which is to use the thicker blade. But you can use the thinner blade, what they call the feminine blade, on Yom Tov. So Mar says, pshita, that's obvious. The kofitz tenan, because I was like, that's why the Mishnah allows you to use the kofitz. What is a kofitz? What is a cleaver, essentially? A cleaver is a utensil that resembles the thinner side of the axe. So because the Mishnah says you can use a kofitz, the inference from that is what? That you'd also be able to use that thinner side of the axe. So the Gemara says, the kofitz tenan. No. Maldetim, what would I have thought? Kani mili kofitz l'chudei. I might have thought that it only applies to a kofitz, that the dispensation was only to a kofitz, only to a cleaver. Why? Aval kardum the kofitz, ema migo da haigisa aser, haigisa nami aser. When it comes to the axe, I might have thought the following. Since the thicker side is aser, so I might have thought that what? The thinner side is aser also. Why? Why? Because we'll say if we're going to allow you to use a kli with two sides, one of which is permitted, one of which is prohibited. You know, come on, it's asking for trouble. A person's not even intentional, is going to inadvertently use the wrong side of the kli. So I might have thought, therefore, halacha lemaisa, even though the nakvos, the feminine thin side of the kardum, is mamish, a kofitz, it's the same kli, but I might, therefore again, but nevertheless, I might have thought the havamina is that you should not use the kardum at all, because once you prohibit the thick side of the kardum, perhaps you should prohibit the thin side of the kardum as well. Kamash malon, no. Kamashan, that's not the case, that since you could use the kofitz, you are also permitted to what? To use the thinner side of the kardum as well. The Gemara goes right to Vika Damasni La Seifa. Others put this conversation at the end of the Mishnah. Ella Bekofitz, right? So where did the Mishnah say you could only use a cleaver? Amar Rav Chinan Abar Shalmi and Mishmei Diraf. So Rav Chinan Abar Shalmi said the name of Rav. Oh, excuse me. Thank you. Lo Shanu Ella. Thank you. Lo Shanu Ella. The Zachrus Shalom. So they will say, when can you use a Kofitz? When can you use a kofitz? You can only use a look at Rashi just a moment. V'ikad demasnila lahad rav chinina aseifa demasnisin uba asrei dahad demasnila lahad rav chinina aseifa hayuosin the kofitz zachrus binakvus kimo sha'asui kli uman shikorin bidgua. I don't know what that word is, but we'll say. See, here's what's interesting. According to this version. The kofitz also had a thicker side and a thinner side. So according to this version, Rav comes along and says, when does the Mishnah allow you to use the kofitz? Lo shano ela bezachrus shalo. That's only with the thinner side of the kofitz. Ava benakvus shalo aser. But you may not use the thinner side of the kofitz. The Gemara says, pshita, that's obvious. Velo bekardum tnan. Because the Mishnah said, you may not use an axe. And an axe has a thicker side to it. So the Gemara says, mal detema. Hani midi kardum. That's only true with an axe. Ava kofitz the kardum ema migo da haigis ashari. Haigis anamashari. But I might have thought that maybe. Right? So we'll say, when do we say that you can't use the you can't use the axe? But I might have thought that halacha lemaisa, maybe once one side of the kofitz is permitted, the other side is also permitted. Kamash malon, know that only the thin side is permitted. Okay. So we'll say, halacha lemaisa, what comes out from this entire discussion, and this is actually out the Shulchan Aruch Paskins this way again. This is in Tav Kuf Aleph Aleph. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Ein mevakin eitzim min akoros she'omdos lebinyan." So first of all, you may not go ahead and if you have wood that was set aside for construction, you may not decide to break that apart and use it for firewood on Yom Tov. Furthermore, you also can't use a beam that broke itself on Yom Tov. But again, if the beam broke on Erev Yom Tov and there's no way to burn it whole, you have to break it apart. You're permitted to break it apart on Yom Tov. However, but again, you can't use an axe, you can't use a saw, you can't use a sickle. Rather, you have to use the cleaver. And again, Mishnah Berurah points out, in order to go ahead and somehow deviate from the norm, and furthermore, ubitzat hakotzer shalo. You can only use the thin side of the cleaver, avalo bitzad harachav, but not the thicker side. V'yesh misha oser afilo b'kofitz, lefi she'en anu b'kin mahu, v'lo atiru ela b'sakin. Others say you can't even use a kofitz. Why? Because they're also like, for myself, over the years, the definitions of these utensils have changed. And therefore, again, today, if you need to cut wood, the one thing you really should cut wood with is a knife. Because everyone would agree that lemaisa, again, the knife is a clear shinui, it's a thin side, and would allow you to cut.
You can break it yourself,
100%. So the Gemara submission says the following. Bai shumalei peros. I will say, if you have a home that is filled with fruit, the case over here is, you sealed up this house. So let's say, for argument's sake, it's storage. I assume that lemaisa, I'm not really going to need it for Yom Tov. So I close up the house. I seal it up. And what happens? V'nifchas. And now let's say the wall that I made opens. It breaks, a little bit breaks off of it. So what's the halacha? No tell me makom hapachas. I'm allowed to go ahead and take fruit from the area of the opening. Rashi says, no tell me makom hapachas. Velo aminon, we don't say muktzin machmas iserhein. The in yachol apachsa biyomto va'asach daita minagu. Kevin the lahavi pechisoso isur dorais kidek minalei ba'avi. Okay, so we'll say we'll see. The chiddush over here is I might have thought that since I sealed off this house, then lemaisa, what's my behavioral statement? That it's not for yomtiv. And therefore, again, I'll say, remember, as much as we're makel with the laws of muktzah, you don't have to actively designate what you're going to use. One thing is clear, which is, if you actively designate something for non-use, that does become muktzah. So yet, if the wall opens up over here, I'm permitted to go in and take fruit. Rabbi Meir says, "Af poches lechatchila benot." Rabbi Meir says, "You don't even have to wait for a brick to fall out from the wall, but rather, you could even pluck it out yourself lechatchila." So the Gemara says, "Am I? How could this be?"
On Yom Tov rather than before Yom Tov.
Yeah,
agreed.
Correct. Right before Yom Tov, you could do whatever you want. So am I? So how can you do this? How can you? So the Amai is on both. The Amai is asking how. First of all, even whether the brick comes out by itself or there's a strong kasher on, Rabbi Meir says to take out the brick lechatchila. How can you possibly do that? V'haka sasser ola. You are demolishing a structure. Right? It was the act of removing anything from a structure by definition is a halachic act of demolition. So how can you do this? What are we dealing with? Avir Bosei. When we spoke about that you went ahead and you constructed a wall, it wasn't the real wall. Look at Rashi. Avir Delivni. Sidur Shalavane Belotit. You arranged stones or bricks on top of the other, but what? With no mortar. So such a wall like this is clearly a temporary partition, and the removal of a brick, even the chatrila, does not constitute an act of stira of demolition because the bricks or the stones are not fixed in place. Ini, is that so? And Rav Nachman said, "Hani levine diyator mibinyana." These bricks that are left over from building, shari letalto linhu b'shab, so you can carry them on Shabbos. Why? Hoil v'chazi lemizga alayhu. Because you're permitted. Because what can you use them for? You can go ahead and sit on them. Rashi says the following: shari letalto linhu dimeata lav lebinyan kaimi ela lemizga alayhu b'toras kelyan. Because it will say once they're left over from building, they're clearly not going to be used for this building project. Therefore, by definition, a person doesn't have intent to use them for building. And therefore, again, they're permitted to be used for sitting. It has the status of a kli. And therefore, it can be carried on Shabbos. However, sharginhu vaday aktsinu. But Rabbi will say, if you have piled the bricks, then it's clear that your intention is what? That your intention is to go ahead and be used for building, and therefore what? It is usher to move it on Shabbos. So you see from here that the act of piling is significant. Amrab Zera biyom tov amru avalo b'Shabbos. Rabbi Zera says, you're right. This dispensation that we are giving over here is limited to Yom Tov and not for Shabbos. Look at Rashi. Amrab Zera biyom tov. Biyom tov, hit Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is only permitting you to go and remove a brick on Yom Tov. Kevan demid rabbanon huda aser, because since again the only prohibition to remove the brick is rabbinic, because it's not biblical stira. Why? Because I will say the bricks are not fixed in place. Therefore, rabbinically it's muktzah. I mean, every muktzah is rabbinic, but it's a rabbinic prohibition. Umishum simchas yom tov shari, and Rabbi Meir feels that the mandate for simchas yom tov to physically enjoy the yom tov overrides this rabbinic prohibition. Shahari mutter bo ochal nefesh. So we'll say now what the Gemara is saying is, you're right. When you pile bricks on Shabbos, they're muktzah. On Yom Tov, you can remove it in order to access food. Why? Because since on Yom Tov, there is already a din of ochal nefesh, which already allows you to engage in malacha for the sake of food preparation activities. Therefore, you're permitted to move the brick in order to access the food as well. Tainam Yachi of Abraisa, that supports this. Rabbi Meir says, Af poches lechatchila v'notel. Rabbi Meir says, if you sealed in your fruit with a wall of bricks, and again, I both said this all presupposes that the bricks are just piled. There's no mortar there. Rabbi Meir says you may lechatchila remove a brick on Yom Tov. However, b'Yom Tov amru aval lo b'Shabbos. But this is only allowed on Yom Tov and not allowed on Shabbos. Amr Shmuel. Shmuel said the following: Chosamos shevekarka matir. I both say if you have this case where it's very interesting. Look at Rashi. Chosamos shevekarka kigon delosos. So we'll say, if you had a pit or you had a cave and you secured these entrances, how would you secure these entrances? You'd have a cover and you tied down the cover. So the Gemara Shmuel saying over here, you're permitted to untie the knots. You're permitted to untie the knots that hold down the covers on Yom Tov. Aval lo mafkia, but you may not unravel. Now we'll say unravel over here means that you may not go ahead and unravel the rope, right? You can't unravel the rope, not untie the knot, but unravel the rope itself. First of all, look at Rashi. He says, Matir esakesha, the hot lav kesha shakayamahu. Sure, the hunter told me to ask. And I will say, now what's the issue? The issue is that on the 39 malachos, there is a malacha of kosher, there's a malacha of tying a permanent knot, and there is a malacha of matir, of untying a permanent knot. So what Shmuel's coming along to say is that as much as the knots that hold down the covers to the pits or to the cisterns and to the caves or to the caves are significant knots, they're not called permanent knots. Why? Because they're made to be undone. Why are they made to be undone? Because you need to access whatever is being stored within those areas. So therefore, you're permitted to untie those knots on Yom Tov. But you may not unravel the rope. You may not unravel the rope. V'lo chotech, nor may you go ahead and cut the rope. V'lo chotech, shebekelim matir. Similarly, we'll say, if let's say again, if you had a case of not as much a, this is not a case of where, see, in this, in the previous case, you're tying down something to the ground. In the next case over here, you're tying a utensil. Let's say you have a box, and you go ahead and you have a rope around the box. So the halacha is, shevekelim matir, you could untie the knot in that rope, umafkia, but you're allowed to unravel, the chotech, and you're permitted to go ahead and cut that rope as well. Echad Shabbos ve'echad Yom Tov. And I will say, what's the difference over here? Look at Rashi v'shal kelim kigon teva hanu ula'ay de'kesher chevel matir u'mafkia v'chotech de'instir b'kelim. And I will say, here's the interesting part. What the Gemara is saying is like this. If you have something that is tied to the ground, so you're permitted to untie the knot because the untying the knot doesn't represent the malacha. If you unravel the rope or you cut the rope, the Gemara's understanding right now is that is a din of stira. That is a din of demolition, because since that rope is tied to the ground, it has the status of something that's attached to the ground. Therefore, any destruction of that item has the definition of demolition. But when you have a rope that is tied around the utensil, there is no concept of building or demolition. Ein binyan u'stira b'kelim. And therefore, again, if you have a rope around the utensil, not only can you untie that rope, but what? You can even unravel that rope. You could even cut that rope, because even though you are destroying the rope, nevertheless, what? That is not called an act of demolition, because there is no demolition by utensils. Right? We'll say, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up in Meretz Hashem by this Mace Day tomorrow. We pass it in Binyana in Stira B'Kelim. It's actually Machlokes Beshan and Beisilo. We pass it like Beisilo in Binyana in Stira B'Kelim. Correct. We pass it in Binyana in Stira B'Kelim.